Well, good morning to everyone. So what did you think of that drive-in this morning? We were sharing just briefly before we come in that there's something about the path we're all on, isn't there? There's something about when we get on a path, whether we're walking or doing our daily chores or whatever it is we do, we say, God, you take the wheel and I'll be your pilot. And I'll be not only your co-pilot, but also, I just want to thank you for leading me through this path. So this morning, I got a bit of an assignment for each of you as well. And what we're going to be talking about is work. Kind of like it leads up to the beginning of what we shared this morning through your announcements and through what was some of the songs we had. And for most of you, you'll realize too that this is the first Sunday of Advent, isn't it? And we all know like Advent is what? The arrival of our son, Jesus Christ. And that's when his work started, isn't it? Is when he arrived, he had work to do. Something like what we're going to be sharing this morning. And when you get ready for winter time, I love all the seasons, but when we get ready for winter, we have that beautiful fall. There's a number of things we have to get done, isn't there? We have to decide what it is we have to do to get ready for winter. Some people have to get their wood ready. Some people have to get their yards all cleaned up. And there's a number of things that we have to get prepared for, isn't it? And what do we label that under? We label that under the heading of work. Some of us think, well, what is work? Is it hard to describe work? Let me share something with you about us where we live in the fall. Now, Janet and I, we look outside and we see the beautiful fall weather, but also we see all those leaves coming down and pine needles, and we look outside and we figure, well, there's a lot of work to do. So Janet will share with me, well, Sandy, I feel like we really need to get out there and get to work. We have to get all this all raked up, and we have to do it two or three times. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, how about you come on over here with me, and let's see if that feeling might go away. So we end up having to, at one point, get involved in that work in our lives. So that assignment I talked to you about, I want you to tell me at the end how many times the word work is mentioned throughout our message this morning. If you can kind of tabulate that in your mind, just let me know, well, Sandy, I think that word work was mentioned this amount of time. So we'll take a look at that. And before we get started, I want you, if you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to turn to James chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14 to 20. And while you're looking that up, just kind of flip back a bit to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24 as well. And I'm sure all of you as well have been busy this fall, getting ready for winter. You have a number of things you want to get done. You have things that maybe you haven't got done yet. And we're thinking about, too, we're thinking about Thanksgiving. We're thinking about Christmas. We've got all these things on our minds to get done. And that comes under the heading as well of work. So let's take a look at James chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. And I'm reading from the ESV translation this morning. That's my study I did on this service. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body. What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be known, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Let's take a look now at Colossians 3, 23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Would you pray with me? And Father, I thank you for the blessing of this chapel. I thank you for our brother Paul Bronson. I thank you, O Lord, for the years of service and hard work that he done for you and is continuing to do. I thank you for his family. I thank you, God, too, for the blessing he was at the chapel in Bancroft for so many years. I thank you, Lord, too, for what you're going to do here this morning. I thank you for Richard back with us. I thank you for those, O Lord, that has been shared this morning that need a healing in their lives. And as we bring the message this morning, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak through your servant. And Lord, too, for those here that are in need, I pray, O Lord, as well, that you would just bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many times do you think work appears in the Bible? My study goes, it appears 800 times. And you might think, well, how does that appear 800 times in the Bible? It appears through the terms used for worship. It appears through the terms for music, praise, and singing. That's all combined together. God created the earth through work, didn't he? It was hard work. And he rested. And we see that in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. And while I think of this, you may want to write down some of the verses that I'm going to share with you this morning. So maybe you can look them up later. So some of the verses that I have also will coordinate with the message that you won't see on the PowerPoint. So when we think about what God did by creating this earth, have you ever thought about that? What about Adam? He was told to work in the garden, wasn't he? He wasn't just placed there to do nothing. God told Adam he needed him to work. And that is shared with us, as the PowerPoint shares, is for chapter 2, verse 15 in Genesis. Do you think that'd be hard work for Adam? I think that'd be great work, because he had a job to do in the garden, didn't he? What was he told? He had to name the animals. He had to do things in the garden because God wanted to keep him busy. In Genesis 3, 17 to 19, work is not the result, my friends, of the fall. Did you know that? It's not that result of that. What the fall, and after the fall, it became harder work because even before the fall, Adam was told that he had to do things. And after the fall, the work became tougher, became sweating, toiling, and it became pain, didn't it? The work was given before sin even entered the world, a part of God's perfect creation. In Genesis 3, also, work is not the result of the fall, as we shared before. I want you to understand this. When you think about work, do you think about it as what God would have you do regarding work? Or do you just go ahead sometimes and put the cart ahead of the horse and do your daily chores in your life, our jobs, where we're going? Do we just go ahead and do that? God doesn't want us to respond that way. Because tending Eden, if you think about it, tending the Garden of Eden was designed to be so pleasant, such a rewarding occupation for Adam. God also instituted in regarding the tithe in the Old Testament, reminding people that it was God who blessed the work. God blessed the work. And we see that where? You can see that in Leviticus. You can see that in Numbers. You can see that in Deuteronomy. Here's some expressions of good work. What about, before we get into that PowerPoint, that sharing, what do you consider in your life as good work? You must have some idea what you would consider good work in your life. The expression of good work in the Bible, as shared here, is found 14 times. 13 times in the New Testament, one time in the Old Testament. It might surprise you, too, what the Bible calls good work. Because it surprised me when I studied this. So we talk about what? We talk about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Would you think that would be good work? Well, when I studied Nehemiah, and I looked this at chapter 2, verse 18, and if you read about Nehemiah, he had a pretty tough job. Well, you think it being a cupbearer, it'd be a great job, wouldn't you, to King Artaxerxes? He was the king. So he was his cupbearer. He'd bring along his drinks, and he'd hand them to the king, and he'd think, well, you know, that's not a really... You know, this isn't that great of a job, but it was a good job that he had. Because what transpired there? He asked the king, would you give me permission to go to Jerusalem to build the wall? And he gave him that permission to do that. And there was a challenge for him doing this work. And what was it? Sanballat, he defied his work. He did not want Nehemiah to build that wall. No way he wanted him to do that. But he continued on because of why? Because he had faith and he believed. Because that was the plan that God gave him to do that. In Mark 14, 6, remember Mary? She was anointing the feet of Jesus. And Judas Iscariot was there and Martha was there and remember, Judas, they were talking about, well, this oil, it's so expensive. Why would you be putting this expensive oil on Jesus' feet for? What? You could, that's a year's wages. You're wasting your money on that, putting that oil on Jesus' feet. You know what Jesus said? Leave her alone. She's doing a good work. That's what he said. She's doing a good work. Philippians 4, 15, 16. Remember what Paul was doing, the Apostle Paul, when he was teaching the Philippians? They loved him so much. The Philippians thought, he's so great, he's better than sliced bread. He thought he was so great that they just continued on to support his ministry. His ministry, Apostle Paul's ministry, was hard work. Over the course of Paul's three missionary trips, the study that I had done, the theologians that I read about, he walked 10,000 miles in those three ministries. Walked. Now, would you consider that hard work? I would. Mark 1, 1 to 9. John the Baptist. We've all heard about John the Baptist. He prepared the way. Would you not consider that hard work? He prepared the path for Jesus. And where John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy of doing his tie straps up on his sandals. And he prepared the way for Jesus. Some might think of these as minor importance. You might think, well, Sandy, that's not even really that important. Well, do you think of good works and deeds as big things in your life? Because somebody did something so big, so great, that you think, well, that's pretty great for me. But what about the smaller things, the deeds, the work that you might do for others? Or for someone else, even that you might think, Sandy, I don't really want to bother these people with such a small situation in my life. I don't really want to do that. Don't really want to. When you do things for others, do you think it's important? Or do you think they won't think it's important? Does that matter? If they don't think it's important. Some people too might think of good works as big things like, well, Sandy, I think it's so important to lead people to Christ. Preaching a sermon on a Sunday, I think that is so important. Going to a remote location as a missionary, well, that's really important. Or what about dying as a martyr? And spending years maybe in prison for your ministry, or your faith for that matter. While those things can be considered good works, we cannot neglect, my friends, the everyday things of our lives. Do not neglect everyday things, because what we read about Colossians 3:23, didn't we? Whatever we do, we are to do it heartily, as for the Lord, and not for man. Is that a tough one for you? I didn't say that. God's word said that. What about you this morning? Your good works that you do, are they for the Lord? I want you to think about that. Where are your good works leading you? Do you have a plan for your good works? Think about this. Did you know the little things, maybe the smallest things in your life, might have a huge impact on other people's lives? Powerful are kind words, aren't they? Something kind to someone. What about a hug? What about even just a nod of the head? What about, do you ever give a pat on the back? Do you ever say, hey, good job done. That's really good. What about a timely card or even a small gift? Would you consider that a good thing? Remember what Jesus said? What you do for me, for the least of these men, you do for me. Have you ever thought about that? The least thing you do for others, you do it for me. Friends, we're called to do good works. Matthew 5:16 shares what Jesus tells his followers to let their good works and deeds, what? Shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what we do, we don't want to be glorified. We want Jesus to be glorified, just like was shared this morning earlier, as our coming King. And that's what Advent means. It's the arrival, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the first day of Advent, Sunday, and today is considered hope. Do you have hope this morning? Do you have hope? Is your works that you do in your lives, do you consider that somewhat of hope? Because what are you doing? When you do things, you're building up treasures in heaven, aren't you? We're going to talk about that briefly here. We've seen from Scripture what God considers good works, don't we? So how do we do that? Sandy, how do I exactly do that? Well, we keep what? Like James shared with us, we keep grace in focus. Grace in focus. Is sharing with us what? Regarding faith and works in our Scripture. Did you know that they go together? They're meshed so beautifully. Faith and works are so nicely meshed. Jesus did hard work. Some might think, well, what, Sandy, what exactly did Jesus do? Friends, he was working hard from the time God sent his son. He was preparing him for the works that he had to do. This term of work, too, sometimes I've had people share with me. It just seems that it's a hard characterization of Christ for them to get their head wrapped around. And that's why it's so important, my friends, to read your Bible. Do we read our Bible faithfully? Or do we think of Jesus as walking around, like a lot of people think of him as walking around with a halo, or there's a nice picture on the wall, a medieval picture of Jesus on the wall. A lot of people think of that. Jesus went through, and I share with people, harsh conditions. He went through tough times. He went through, when you think about it, he went through deserts, he went through mountains during his ministry. Do you not think that'd be hard work? I do. I think that'd be terribly hard work. Very hard work. Are you finishing the work that you have been sent here to do? Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that we all have a plan, that God has a plan and purpose for your life? Friends, this is Jesus of the Bible. Would we not consider this as such hard work? I do. We see in Acts 18:3 and 20:34 that Paul, our apostle Paul, too was a manual laborer. He was a tent maker. Did some people think of the apostle Paul? Well, he was just bombing around and just going here and going there, and he didn't really do much work. He was just ministering. Friends, that was tough work that he was doing. Hard work. Let me share 1 Thessalonians 2:9 with you. Let's look at that. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to you, any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. What was the Apostle Paul trying to do here? Well, he wasn't trying to elevate his working with one hand or trying to express his working with one's mind or vice versa. He wasn't trying to proclaim himself as some great person. Paul's teaching to those who are able to labor no matter what type of work, labor to provide not only for themselves, he was sharing this, but for their families. And he didn't want to unnecessarily burden anybody. And what else was it that the Apostle Paul was doing here? He wanted to do this. He wanted to be there for others. For others. This was Paul's example for the people of God as he preached the gospel, as he preached the good news, as he went around in his missionary trips. Did you think that some of his missionary trips was easy? No, they didn't have any problems? Well, friends, you read the book of Acts. Read some of Paul's missionary trips. They weren't easy. The Bible's full of illustrations, examples, and positive teachings about work, and I pray that you'll read some of those. Jesus' parables often appealed to all kinds of examples of work. Read his parables. Sowing, reaping, buying, selling, fishing, shepherding, investing, well, the list can go on. Clearly, example and teaching, the Bible addresses the topic of work. Oftentimes in a commending manner and always with a positive outlook. Because when we do work, we work towards a positive outlook of it, don't we? And that's what Jesus wants to portray here. With a positive outlook, connecting what? Connecting what? Faith with works. I'd like to share a story with you about this gentleman, Mario, I met. Janet and I recently got back Footsteps of the Apostle Paul tour. Started out in Rome, and we went to Greece and Italy. We were getting on this tender from shore and going back to the ship from one of our tours. I believe it was in Ephesus. But anyway, we were traveling back. And picture this in your mind. There was a row of seats on this tender. And this row of seats was facing another row of seats on the back end of the tender. And there was one seat right in front of me. And it was all wet, and it looked like it had some dirt on it. And then Janet grabbed a Kleenex. She was wiping off the seat and getting it all cleaned up, and the tender was plugged. This one gentleman came, and he sat down there right in front of me. Well, what transpired was he was touching my leg. And I wondered, well, why is he touching my leg all the time? So as he was touching my leg, I shared with him, and I said, is everything okay? How's your day going? Well, he started to share about his trip on the shore, and we talked about his time, and I shared with him that we were all of us here, and there was 33 of us, but there was maybe 7 or 8 of us on this row of seats facing him. And I said, we're on a tour, Footsteps of the Apostle Paul. He said, I was raised JW. I said, that's interesting. And I said, well, let me ask you, well, what are you doing? Well, he said, I'm just out here, and I'm just on a trip here with my fiance. She's sitting up there. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, what about you? How are you doing? And I said, we introduced ourselves, Mario and myself, and here's my wife, and there was a group of us. I'm not sure if we introduced everybody that was there, but he was telling me about some of the problems. All of a sudden, he was sharing with me about some of his problems that he was having in his life. He was going through some things. And, you know, the Holy Spirit touched my life there in such a way. And I said, Mario, I know somebody that can help you and change your life. Yeah, he said. I said, yeah, I do know somebody. And I said, by the way, this person I'm going to tell you about, Jesus loves you. And we got sharing. He said, well, Sandy, you know, I think I'll just leave that for another time. I don't really want to get involved in that right now. I said, yeah? Why do you want to wait for another time? Well, he said, I could think about it. I said, why think about it? I said, how about this? How about I pray with you right now and ask God to come into your life and change your life? And tears started come down his eyes, out of his eye, down his cheeks. And I prayed for Mario. And I asked Jesus to take control of this young man's life and change him. And after we had done, he hugged me. I never met him before. He hugged me and we hugged together. And I said, did you know that when one person comes to Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice? And he was just crying. And I had tears coming down, and the group of us along, and I was hugging him again, and we were shaking hands, and then the whole group congratulated him and shook his hand, and said, oh, it's so great to be part of the family of God. And I was just so thankful that God led me to bring him to Christ. What a blessing that was, and that the whole trip, that was worth it. Oh, I've got to hurry on here. Let's read Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Friends, would you consider that work? What about our work, taking up our cross and following him? Is that hard work? Yes, it is. It's not easy. It's a difficult road. It's a difficult road, isn't it? Did you know you have work to do? And did you know that you have to work at it? God didn't say it's going to be easy. He didn't put us here to give us a rose garden. He didn't say that he was going to do that for us. It's hard work. But friends, the reward is so worth it. Reflecting on Matthew 7, 13, 14. Enter through the narrow gate. I need you just to get this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few will find it. What about you this morning? Have you made the journey to the small gate? The narrow road that leads to life? Is that too hard of work for you? Work should be conducted in a way that produces the highest quality outcome. Did you know that? The reward for work is the honor and satisfaction that comes from a job well done. Don't we all love to hear those words? Hey, good job out there. That's really great. You know, I really like that, what you've done. That's good work. Won't it be all worth it, the hard work that we do, to hear these words? Welcome, my good and faithful servant. Don't we all want to hear those words? Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. God reveals himself to the world by his works. Through natural revelation, God's existence is made known to every person on earth. Work reveals something about the one doing the work. It exposes the underlying character. Did you know that? When you see somebody doing work, doing something, that exposes their character, integrity, who that person is. Skills, ability, personality, skills, traits. Jesus echoed this disciple. He said this in Matthew 7:15-20. When he declared that bad trees produce only bad fruit and good trees only good fruit. Do you know what he was talking about here? He's talking about false teachers. Bad fruit. He's talking about, when we talk to people, can you understand, is this good fruit or is it bad fruit? And friends, there are many out there right now that we need to decide in our lives, is that bad fruit or good fruit? It's wisdom, discernment, isn't it? Isaiah 43:7 indicates that God created us for what? For his glory. That's why he created you and I, for him, for his glory, to glorify him. We're called for his glory. Will you answer that this morning? Will you answer that this morning? We're called for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read that whatever we do should be to what? To his glory. Glorify. What's glorify mean, Sandy? Well, what does it exactly mean? It means this: to give an accurate representation, praise and worship in truth. That's what glorify means. Work done by Christians should give the world an accurate picture of just who we are. Righteousness, faithfulness, excellence. God wants us to do the very best. Philippians 3:14 shares this. Working towards the goal, it's an expression. As a Christian principle, striving for the spiritual maturity and eternal fellowship with God. Let me read 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 for you. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Equipped for what? Now get this. Equipped for every good work. Here's a work mandate that applies to us all. Jobs should be acknowledged. Think about this. Jobs should be acknowledged as ministries. And workplaces should be considered as mission fields. Did you know a mission field that you go through in your life could be a coffee shop? Could be visiting someone? Could be going up to the hospital, sharing? And then maybe you'll run into someone else. That's a mission field. Well, Sandy, might cost me some time, might cost me a little bit of money. Or friends, we're building up our treasures in heaven is what we're doing. Help someone. Bless someone this Christmas with your life. Demonstrate to them who you are. In Matthew 6:19-21 shares this. Lay up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up, now get this, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your, oh friends, this is so great. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. For the believer in Matthew 6:19-21 shares our work here on earth is building up treasures in heaven. When you leave here this morning, what treasures are you going to work on this week? Can I ask you, are you a believer this morning? Do you truly believe? We've got three basic needs in life, don't we? And what do you think the first one is? Well, it's love. its purpose, its significance in our lives. Some attempt to find significance in work itself. I just got to keep working all the time. I just got to keep doing. I got to keep busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. Do you really? What about time for God? Friends, work is done not only to benefit the worker, but others as well, as Ephesians 4:28 shares this. Sharing with others is being what? Part of God's family. And that's who we are this morning. I trust we are. God equips his people for their work as we prayerfully listen to him. What? How do we listen to God? We listen through his word. God's original design for work was what? And we talked about that earlier. Was perverted by sin. However, in Revelation 15, and let me finish up here, God will one day restore work without the burdens that the sin introduced. He sent his son to restore it, and we're going to celebrate the reason for the season coming up. Our heavenly reward, my friends, for faith, coupled with hard works, will be given to those that have accepted him as their personal Savior. Have you accepted him this morning as your personal Savior? Until the day when the new heavens and the new earth set in place, the Christian attitude toward work should mirror what? That of Jesus. John 4:34 shares that, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to what? Finish his work." This is Jesus' prayer to God the Father before his crucifixion, stated in what? In John 17:4. "He has finished the work he was sent to do, thereby bringing glory to the Father on earth." And what's that mean? Well, Sandy, what exactly does that mean? Let me emphasize Jesus' statement here. "I have completed the work that I have been sent here to do." Can I ask you this morning, are you completing the work that God has sent you here to do? Before we call in Melinda, friends, work is of no value. And I need you to understand this. Work is of no value unless God is in it. Was it a tough week for you last week? Having faith? Work? Just wanting to let go? So I can't do this anymore. I've had enough. Matthew 11:28 shares this. "Rest in him. My yoke is light." Do you rest in him? Did it take hard work within your heart to get here this morning? I talked about this with my brother Wayne this morning, that my path, God is in control. God, you take the wheel. Is God in your work this morning? Wherever you go. Not just here. Every place you go, is God in your work? And do you thank him for the opportunities of that work? Well, Sandy, I don't really care about that work. Why don't you? God asked you to do it. You're there. Do the best job you can do. Because you're doing it for who? You're doing it for him. These opportunities, friends, God gives us, don't ignore them. Share the love of Christ with others in your life. You will be blessed by God for the faith and the work, oh, that you have done here on earth. You're preparing those treasures for eternity, my friends. This is just a stop off. Dear friends, oh, it'll all be worth it in Jesus' name. And as we finish off here before Melinda comes up, did you know your daily life is considered a workplace? Every day of your life, It's a mission field to bring others to Christ. Because of what? Because of the great, awesome good news. In Jesus' name, Melinda.